Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
Yeah, and those emails keep pouring in, and we'll answer a few of them today. And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars, three of which are coming up, and we'll spend some time talking about that. You can see who the show's sponsors are, and you can visit all of their websites. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which aren't. You can link to our Facebook page. You can join our Orlando Sentinel blog. And you can even join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates again at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. That's 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And visit the firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And we brought up legislation. So finally, thank you to so many of you for supporting the Community Association Member Party and for throwing your support behind our 6 legislative proposals. And to find out more how you can get involved, and now's the time to do it. The legislature goes into session this week, so get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes. Visit us at www.camp2012.net.
Well, our last show, we spoke about our top 10 New Year's resolutions for board members, owners, renters, and the Florida legislature. Whether or not you can campaign and hold meetings in languages other than English, what you can do with your association surplus funds, and a terrible story about an HOA board that is trying to remove a playhouse of a child with cerebral palsy.
Yeah, Karen, no question that the sick child case is actually not just drawing local attention in Kentucky, but actually national attention all over the United States. And again, here's hoping that that board backs down and lets that family keep the playhouse. But here's a new case. This one's a strange one involving a condo in New Jersey that is actually similar to a case that Scott is working on here in Broward County. Facts are strange. Again, a 34-year-old man in New Jersey is being accused of terrorizing his female neighbor at a condominium by repeatedly exposing himself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know people say people need to be closer to their neighbors nowadays for community spirit, but some things are just wholly inappropriate, you know, believe it or not. I have a case where a woman exposed herself to some elderly condominium residents, and it's a pretty ugly situation.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But, Scott, let me ask you this. How long did it take your client to report this incident to the proper authorities?
I believe they called the cops right away.
Right, and they even filed a lawsuit, right?
Yes.
And Karen, I'm going to put you on the spot
yes.
here, if you don't mind me asking you a personal question. If you're living in a condo or an HOA and a guy exposes himself to you in your condo, how long are you going to wait to actually do something about it?
I would not wait. I would report the nut immediately.
Okay, well, this woman in New Jersey, in this New Jersey case, she's complaining now that this guy has been exposing himself to her, you ready for this?
Yeah.
For several years.
Oh.
So I ask, what took her so long to actually do something about it? You know, did she finally, like, get bored? I mean, can you imagine me cross-examining this witness on the stand, you know? Like, ma'am, what took you so long to report your neighbor exposing himself for the last few years? Answer, my husband insisted that I finally stop looking. I mean, can you imagine that?
What's the deal? They don't have statute of limitations in New Jersey.
I don't know, but you know, if we keep getting cases like this, Scott, we can actually start a new commercial for the firm. Something like, let's think. Getting tired of your neighbor putting on a peep show for you? Call Glazer Associates, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we can stop the peep show, or we can have the condo move you to next door to a more attractive neighbor. How about that? That's even better, but whoever thought in law school that we would be doing such a public service brings a tear to my eye.
I don't think I ever thought in law school I'd be involved in half the cases you get me involved in.
Exactly.
Especially the ones with the dogs.
Yeah. How about on that note, let's take Sarah from Pompano Beach. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a question about bankruptcy. I have a neighbor that's in bankruptcy, so could you explain to me what bankruptcy is and how long could you actually live here in your condo complex without paying?
Are you saying if you file a bankruptcy and you owe your association money, will it help you? Is that kind of what you're asking? Okay.
They filed bankruptcy and they're not paying a penny here.
Okay.
To the bank or our association.
All right, we talk about this all the time. A lot of associations, when a unit owner files a bankruptcy on them, the association kind of acts like a deer in the headlights, and they sit back and they do nothing. We get calls like this all the time, and the reality is that's not how bankruptcy works. The idea is not that someone files a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, and the association from that point forward never gets anything. After a debtor files a Chapter 7, then that person that owns the condominium unit from that point forward, they still have to keep paying the condo assessments. They still have to pay it. And if they don't, the condominium can go into court and get a relief from the automatic stay. Okay, there's a filing fee that's associated with that. I think it's $250, but their lawyer can file a motion for relief from the automatic stay, tell the court that since the bankruptcy has been filed, the debtor isn't paying their condominium assessments. And then once the association wins that motion in the bankruptcy court, they can go back across the street to the state court and proceed with a foreclosure. Now, the other type of bankruptcy that's filed by a debtor is a Chapter 13, and that's typically a payment plan where this debtor is going to keep the property, and they're going to pay back their arrearages over a five-year period of time. But if the condominium is not properly included in that five-year plan, the association can object to that plan and again get relief from the automatic stay and go back into the state court and foreclose. So there are remedies. And again, don't act like a deer in the headlight, associations and board members. Just because someone files a bankruptcy, that doesn't mean that the person's off the hook from that point forward and forever. There are legal options that you have at your disposal. But I hope that answers your question, Sarah.
It did. Thank you so much. And your show is wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. How about we go to Fred in Boca?
Hi, Fred.
Hi. Thanks for the call. All of the present board members in an HOA are not running for re-election at our upcoming annual meeting.
Okay.
How does the new board ensure that all of the documentation is turned over from the old board?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you managed by a management company?
No, these are just residents that will be on the new board.
Right. Okay, but it's a self-managed board. In other words, these records are not already in the hands of a management company, right?
No, there's no management company. They're all in the hands of the residents of the current board.
Okay. Well, Florida Statute 720 basically has a list of all those documents that are supposed to be on file with the association so that unit owners can get them. So somebody has these records. The association attorney should make a demand on them if they haven't been turned over to every single prior board member that may be in possession of them, and ask for them. I mean, if they don't turn them over, there's potential remedies you can have, like whether it be an arbitration action or an action in a court of law. But, yeah, they have to turn the records over. Arbitrators enter orders like that all the time.
Would it be an appropriate action to ask the HOA attorney to be the repository temporarily get the documents?
Yeah, I basically have no problem with that whatsoever, but it's up to the association attorney also to make demand on the former board members to turn those records over.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, you got it, Fred. All right, taking your calls, 877-850-8585 again. 877-850-8585. Let's do some housekeeping matters before we actually go to our first break. And let's remind everybody that board members in a condominium, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board of directors, or you are suspended. And one way to get certified is by taking the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. And for the first time ever, Floridians can now sign up at any one of our three different locations for the time being. And here they are, January 26th, about at 7 o'clock at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood. That is just about sold out. That's, what, about 3 weeks away. That's just about sold out. February 18th at 12 o'clock noon at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando. And February 29th at 3 o'clock at the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach. Everybody gets confused when I say sold out. They are free. That does not mean that if there's a charge
right.
for it. It's just I mean that there's no more places available when I
and
say sold out.
And they generally do sell out.
And they generally do sell out.
But you have a standby line.
Exactly. If you can show up in the standby line, and we do our best to get everybody in. So, again, that's January 26th in Hollywood, February 18th at in Orlando, and February 29th in West Palm Beach. We're definitely going to be putting on a seminar on Florida's West Coast, but we're not sure of the date as of yet. But to register for any of these seminars, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com and fill out the form, and you'll get confirmation back from Brian that you are on our list.
Well, you know, as we say all the time, an educated board is less likely to make mistakes that can cost the association money, and they're more likely to be in compliance with their duties as board members. The course teaches them all about their fiduciary duties, budgets, reserve funding, how to get notice, and conduct meetings. We talk about your governing documents, all the new laws that get passed, and whether or not any of the new laws even apply in your community. There's always good food and drink, and best of all, as Eric just said right before, it's free. But it does sell out, even though we're not selling anything.
Right, exactly.
You know, space, yeah. Spots are limited each time we have a seminar, and you got to reserve them before all of them get booked. So please do it, you know, and trust me, even if you think you know everything, it doesn't hurt to come back and learn it all and get a little refresher course.
Absolutely. I'm always amazed at how many HOA people come in.
Absolutely. And now in Orlando, we teach HOA law as well. And I can tell you, in this legislative session, it's on the agenda for HOA members to have to get certified as well. But again, it seems that almost every show now, we get a caller who compliments us on the seminar. And I mean this sincerely. We are definitely honored to serve as a law firm to so many of our listeners, but I think we're even more prouder that now 2,000 of you have chosen us to be your teachers at these seminars. And again, Scott, not only is it free, but we also give away lots of prizes. If anybody actually wants to see the photos of the seminar, just go to Facebook and search for Condo Craze and HOAs, and lots of pictures come up on our site. Be sure to click the like button and become a fan of the show. And again, if you want to register for any of the seminars, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, that's condocrazeandhoas.com.
And I also understand that associations who are clients of the firm actually can get certified without leaving their home.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. For clients of Glazer and Associates, we'll actually go to your association and we'll give the board certification course at your association and meet with your new board. It's really a great time not only to get certified, but a great time to talk about what the association needs and demands from their law firm in the year ahead. And again, all free of charge.
Now, you don't already have to be a board member in order to take the course, right?
Yeah, and this is actually also what was in the change to the law last year. The law now actually allows someone to get certified within 1 year before becoming a board member. So lots of people actually become certified while running for office so they can campaign and say that they cared enough to actually get certified before getting on the board.
Yeah, and as we like to say in the business, January and February are really hot months for annual meetings. In most associations, and I have to tell you this, what strikes me is the fact that so many people during these seminars simply keep saying, I didn't know that, or nobody ever told me that, or why didn't somebody tell me that?
Right, happens all the time. Well, over the last year or two, Scott, I think associations have concentrated really on collecting delinquent assessments, and that's simply been the focus, and, you know, understandably so. But I think when people leave the course, they definitely come away with a greater understanding of just how much more you need to know as a board member and how much more you need to demand from your association's attorney and management company to actually keep you abreast of the association's requirements under the law and the changes to the law. It's never just about collections. That's only part, really, one part of successfully running your association. But why don't we do this? Let's take our first break, and when we get back, we're going to take more of your emails like we did last week. We'll also talk about a new condo in Sunny Isles Beach that brings the term convenient parking to new heights, literally. We'll talk about whether workshops are board meetings that need to be noticed, the death of the foreclosure mediation Education Program. And we'll talk about a Brooklyn judge who really laid it into a bank. And, of course, we'll take all of your questions and comments about life in your condo or HOA. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, again with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Phone lines are stacked up. We'll get to you in just a second. By the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
As a matter of fact, all of our sponsors will be present at our next seminar in Hollywood on January 26th, so come out and meet all of them. How about on that note, let's go to Ruby in Boca.
Hi. I have a question about my association. They put this new gate system in, and I'm part owner with my dad, and they're saying that I'm the only one that can get a barcode to get in, and because he doesn't live there, he's not allowed, and he has to be on a guest list. Well, are they allowed to do that?
If he's an owner that doesn't live there, the board wants to restrict it only to people who live there, and I would think there's probably nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, in the condo statute, when an owner doesn't live there and, you know, there's someone else in the owner's place, it's very specific. And only the person living there has actual use rights to the property. So, you know, it really doesn't bother me all that much. The question is if it's a reasonable rule. And I think under the law it probably is.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's not what you wanted to hear, Ruby. But we don't tell you what you want to hear. We tell you what you have to hear.
Speak for yourself.
Right? All right, but thanks for the call, Ruby.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
How about we go to Sharon in Fort Lauderdale? Sharon, you there?
Yes, how are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you.
How can we help you?
We've got a big disaster here in our community. We have a property management company, and we've always had them, and they really do not work for us, if you want to call it that. They don't respond to most of the calls. The thing I want to talk to you about is I developed a community awareness program for our community here. We have more than 300 homes, and the program allows residents to contact me via with any questions or any issues that they may have, and then in turn I can contact either the board or the property management company to find resolution for them.
So you're not on the board? You're not on the board. You're acting like a liaison between the board and the union owners? Okay, gotcha.
That is correct. And the homeowners absolutely love it. We currently have over 200 members out of the 300-plus people that we have in here, and it's really been a wonderful program for us. But for some reason, the board was all for it. They supported me. I started this thing in November, and as of the day before Christmas, apparently two or three of the board members freaked out and said, oh, my goodness, she now has over 200 people, which means, obviously, I'm hearing that they're in fear that I could,
start a recall and get them out.
Well, yeah, in a roundabout way, okay? Right. That's not my intent. I'm one to help people, and like I said, the people of our community are not getting resolution to, they don't even get their calls returned. It's just absolutely awful.
Right.
So the board had been working with me on this, and they even used the word liaison, that I would be the liaison between, you know, the community and the board and, you know, to the management company as well. But since they have freaked out and said, they sent an email and states that I am no longer allowed to do this and I was never given permission. This is so untrue. They were talking, even in a meeting we had on the 19th of December,
right.
They discussed with me about adding me to their insurance umbrella to protect me as well as them.
You know, how could I put this? There's nothing under their bylaws, there's nothing under the statute that creates this kind of like unofficial position for you. So I guess you learn the lesson that no good deed goes unpunished, I guess. That's kind of like my favorite saying to tell you the truth. But if they don't want your help and they don't appreciate your help, then fine. Now what you know, regardless of that, you now probably do have these 200 people in your corner to some extent. And when election time rolls around, if maybe you and a couple of other people out of that 200 want to get on the board, then I guess that's going to happen next time, and those board members will be on the outside looking in. You know, that's all
but
I can tell you.
My question is, isn't the board supposed to respond? Isn't their obligation to respond and to help the community?
Is this an HOA or a condo, by the way? Is this an HOA or a condo?
It's an HOA. It's an HOA.
Okay. If it's
but my question is this, because I'm no different than all these people voicing their addressing their issues individually. So why am I allowed to do this, to address the issues? Don't they have to listen to me? He's saying that the property management company no longer has to respond to me. Is that legal?
They owe you the responsibility that they owe to every other unit owner. Under the condo statute, if you write a letter to the board, and you call it a unit owner inquiry, they have to get back to you in writing. There's no such provision under the HOA law. So the answer is no. So as long as they're technically, there's no obligation for them to get back to you with written answers. There's an obligation to provide you with records. If you make a records request to them, they have to give you access to it. And of course, you know, they basically have to upkeep the community. And other than that, no, they're under no obligation to get back to you for questions that you come forward with on behalf of other people. They do not owe you that. Okay?
Wow.
Sharon, sorry about that, but we got to take another break. Thanks for the phone call. Bo, I see you holding. We promise to take you next after our next commercial break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We are stacked on the phones. We see you there. But first, we want to...
Yeah, real quick story first before we take more phone calls. Why do I want to bring it up? Because it's about the old neighborhood, and it kind of makes me proud to be a Brooklynite. A Brooklyn man was actually sued for foreclosure, but the judge on the case found the suit frivolous. The bank never owned the note and ordered $10,000 in sanctions for foreclosing on a property, again, that the bank didn't even own, and that bank was U.S. Bank.
And I understand that, like most New Yorkers, this judge didn't mince words when writing his final opinion.
No, he didn't, Karen. He actually wrote that the court can only speculate in how many other cases plaintiffs with no interest in mortgages can wrongly foreclose on them and collect proceeds to which they are not entitled to.
It's pretty good, Scott. Not bad. See that right away? You know, we don't mess around in Brooklyn. You file fraudulent documents in court right away. Bada-bing, $10,000 in sanctions. You see that? I like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if that poor defendant made sure that the lawyer for the bank mysteriously had his car stolen, too, on the same day. I can see that happening. That's how we take care of things up there.
Old school.
But how about we take Bo from Stewart?
Bo.
Hello. Hello.
How are you, Bo?
I'm doing good. I'm calling about elections of officers for a condo association. Do they have to get elected every year, or is it for a two-year term?
No. Now you have to have elections every year. Okay, everybody runs for re-election every single year unless your original documents allowed for what's called staggered terms, you know, basically where half the board gets elected one year, the other half gets elected another year. And after the statute became effective, I think it was in July 2010, subsequent to that time, a majority of the owners at the condominium had to vote to go back to staggered terms. Okay, so if your original documents had staggered terms, you know, again, where you could stay on the board for more than 1 year, as of July 1st, 2010, there were no more staggered terms. So if you want to reinstate what's in your original governing documents, the unit owners now have to get together and vote to reinstate it, if that answers your question. If you haven't done that, then now you are electing your board each and every year. Everybody got to run for re-election.
Okay.
Okay?
I thank you very
much,
sir.
All right, Bo. Thank
you.
You
have a good day.
Thank you. Not too many guys named Bo in Brooklyn. I know that. Right. Anyway, how about Marcus in Hollywood?
Hello, Marcus.
Hello.
How are you, Marcus?
Okay. My question is, when you have a foreclosure, the association foreclosing the property, either a homeowner's or a condo, after that, the first lien, the bank forecloses on the association.
Yes.
Do they have to pay the association the full bill?
No.
Or only for the 12 months like before?
Good question. That came up the other day. All right, so I want everybody to understand what the question is. The association forecloses on a unit, takes back title to the unit, and eventually the bank finally gets around to foreclosing on a unit, and the bank winds up taking title. Does the bank owe any prior assessments? And the answer to that question is no. The bank does not owe anything at that point, because the bank would be responsible only for the, if there was unpaid assessments, and there's not unpaid assessments because the association owned it during that time. So it's our position, at least in our office, that says no, the bank would not be responsible for it. And that's something that we tell our clients in advance so that they know when they take back title to the property, if and when the bank decides to foreclose, they're not going to get that, you know, 6 months or 1 year on 1%. Okay?
Hope now, what about if a third party buys it at the auction?
If a third party buys it, well, the same thing. They still wouldn't know, because there would not be any more unpaid assessments because the association took title.
For what reason would an association foreclose on the property then?
If the way a third person becomes responsible for unpaid assessments is if they purchase the property at a foreclosure sale before the association winds up owning it, then that third-party purchaser is on the hook for everything. So,
my question is, why would the association have interest to foreclose on the property if they're not going to get back their association fees?
Because, let's say the association forecloses on a property and they have the ability to rent out the unit. It's a really good unit. It's in a nice building. Perhaps it overlooks the ocean. And they can now rent that unit out for $1,500 a month or more. Or, you know, or maybe even less, for $1,000 a month. And you know that the time the bank comes around to foreclosing, it's probably going to be a year or two from now. So the association can get anywhere from, you know, $15,000 to $25,000 maybe in rent. So why not foreclose on it? Why wait for the bank to just sit there and do nothing for another two-year period of time? So that's why, again, there's not one answer to every single question, and we tell associations this all the time. If you're getting advice from an attorney that says, just go full steam ahead, foreclose on everybody, you know, kill everybody, respectfully, we as a firm don't think that that's the way to go. Every case stands on its own merit. Every association stands on their own merit, and you have to figure out what's best for your particular condominium or HOA. There is no one strategy fits all. And hope that answers your question. How about we go to Erica in Boca? How are you, Erica?
Hello?
Erica, how are you?
Hi. Oh, just fine. I'm calling in regards to something. I'm part of a board, and I think we did something pretty ignorant. When we were
did you say ignorant? Was
yeah.
The word ignorant, okay.
You broke up.
Yeah.
I think you said
okay.
Ignorant.
Oh, when we were talking to someone, you know, they were going to rent the place, you know, and we always had the right to talk to the renter. She says, oh, I have a dog, and we allow little dogs, and I don't know why we did it, but she says it's only 40 pounds.
Oh,
and, well, now
only
we find out
pounds.
That it's half.
My 7-year-old doesn't
yeah.
weigh 40 pounds. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
well,
so you can allow 40-pound dogs.
Out- Yeah, well, we found out that it's half Rottweiler, and we're scared to death now. It's, you know, so is there anything we can do, because we did approve it, and she's in there, and we haven't had any problems, but could we not honor it the next year? I mean, because she's renting it from an owner.
No, I'd say you have a problem. You let the dog in, the dog is under 40 pounds?
Or was it a puppy?
Well, no. But we don't. We think it's more than 40 pounds.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. She said it was 40 pounds.
Right.
So we have a leg to stand on if we find out that it's, you know, like 50 or 60 pounds.
Absolutely. If she knew that she could only move in with a 40-pound dog, but... You know,
right.
That's why I hate these rules in condominiums that talk about the weights of a pet. You either allow pets or you don't. You allow dogs
right.
or you don't. You know, like I said, it's kind of embarrassing chasing a dog around with a scale. So, you know, I just don't like it. But if you told her and she signed something that says 40 pounds is the limit and you got proof that it's above 40 pounds, then of course you can do something about it. The dog got to go.
At the same time, right. How are you going to get evidence that it's over 40 pounds?
Right. I mean, can you ask her to go have it weighed somewhere at a vet and get it certified by a vet? You know.
Well, she is a vet.
Oh, really?
She is a vet.
Ah,
yeah.
That makes it interesting.
Thickens.
Yeah. Sounds like you might want to avoid being in this potential case here, Erica.
If it becomes abundantly obvious that this pet is not 40 pounds or less, I got no problem. If you have something that she acknowledged that says that you can't bring in a pet over 40 pounds, and again, it's obvious that this animal is 100 pounds or more, I got no problem filing suit against her and trying to get the dog out. Okay?
Okay. I don't even think the owner knows how big the dog is.
I got you.
You know, because he's out of state, so.
Thanks
all
for
right.
the call,
well, thank
Erica.
Thank you very much. I love the show.
Thank
Keep
you.
It going.
You got it. Thanks, Erica. Thanks for the call. All right. Steve in Sunrise. The phones are crazy today.
Yes.
How are you, Steve?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay. How can we help you?
I live in a HOA out in Sunrise. I was on the arbitration committee that we had in our development program.
I can't hear. Steve, I'm sorry. Do you turn down the radio in the back or get closer to the phone or something? Can't hear you.
Let me get out. I had it on speakerphone. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I live in an HOA. I was on an arbitration committee for 5 years. We hired a new management company that came into effect 2011 December. We tried to get a working relationship with the management company as far as these four members we had on our arbitration committee to meet, to get together, to let us know how we've worked in the past, how do you want to work. And they basically said, we don't do that, we don't get together with this and that and whatever. So after about 6 months, the four of us basically resigned on the arbitration committee due to lack of effort from the management company to meet, to do anything, enforce rules and regulations in our community. And the board also, I personally called the president several times and said, if you let our president, if you don't make any motions to get this thing going, we're all going to leave and you're not going to have an arbitration committee.
Well, when you say arbitration committee, let me make sure I understand. I don't know what an arbitration committee is. You're talking about like a fining committee?
No, arbitration committee is the committee we're an HOA that basically will sit in front of the people that are in violation of our rules.
Okay, like an architectural review committee, basically. That's what you're saying.
Well, that's a separate one, but similar to that, yeah.
Okay.
Basically that. But what we do is, and I've been on it for 5 years, I was the vice chair, and there was another gentleman that ran it for 8 years. We basically, if people have, you know, dog issues with
right.
not picking up their waste, dirty driveways,
gotcha.
Stuff,
okay.
you know, that they're breaking rules in the committee, parking, weeds,
right,
all kinds
right.
of stuff. Okay, so that's what our mechanism was. And my question is number a couple of things, is our community is really going downhill as far as the appearance and lack of effort. This new company, I don't know what they're doing, but is the board in violation with the state or anything? I'm trying to get some pressure on this to get this mechanism back in place. The board just seems to not really worry about it anymore.
Well, if the board has, under the statutes now, you can fine regardless of whether or not your documents actually even have the provisions in there any longer. But if the board decides, you know, not to have this committee and they don't want to start fining people and having procedure in place for it, I don't know if there's anything actually, unless it's mandated in your governing documents, I don't believe that they have to do it.
But is there anything in the state that the HOAs have to
do? The only way for me to know for sure would be to take a look at your actual governing documents to tell you for sure. And if you'd like,
right.
call me tomorrow at the office, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855, the number 4-CONDO-CRAZE. Send over your docs. I'll take a quick look, and we'll work it out. We've got to go to our final break, Steve. Sorry, we're out of time. So got to go to a final break. Taking everybody's calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We've been taking your calls all hour. It's been a great show. Continuing to take your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And you've been getting emails as well.
Yes, thank you to Daniel and Riverland Association and Stuart for signing up for our West Palm Beach seminar. And thanks to Pamela in Sea Colony, also in West Palm Beach, for signing up for our... Actually, Pamela signed up for the West Palm Beach seminar, and Daniel signed up for the one in Hollywood. So thank you both. And during the break, Jan Bergman from Cyber Citizens for Justice writes in, and he actually has some interest about the case we started the show with, that the neighbor
exposing
who likes to expose themselves. Yeah, he wants to know and get a survey going. If your neighbor is cute, you know, is it better to sue or you just keep your mouth shut? You know, let's get your take on that, 877-850-8585.
It depends on how cute the neighbor is as to how offended
exactly.
you are.
And I know if a bunch of 18-year-old boys are listening to the show, I know how they're going to call in. But, how about this? Did you guys see that new condo that's planned to be built in Sunny Isles that actually lets you bring your car right into your unit? And the new condo is actually being built by Porsche.
Oh, wow.
And it's likely to be the world's first condominium complex with elevators that's going to take residents directly to their units, get this, while they're actually still sitting in their cars.
Wow.
The residents are actually going to be able to see their cars from their living rooms.
We remember a few shows ago when we spoke about the fact that people are unhappy here because there's no sense of community and we don't get the chance to see our neighbors. Well, at least we see them when we're parking our cars in the garage or the parking lot. But now when you park your car in your living room, I guess you'll never see your neighbor.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know if anybody saw the new Mission Impossible movie. They had this like really weird car elevator thing at the end. And I don't know, maybe it'll have something like that in there.
Yeah. But yeah.
But I can tell you the truth. You know, I'd love to represent this place because I imagine the first high-rise condo with cars in it is going to have a lot of lawsuits.
Yeah, units are going for approximately $9 million, believe it or not.
So Glazer will be signing up for one.
There you go. Yeah. You hear a story like this in the middle of what some people believe is still a recession, and you kind of realize that no matter how bad things are,
oh, yeah,
they still make toys for the super wealthy to play with. That's for sure. That will never stop.
I can't think of how logistically they can do it.
I don't know. You drive in, put your car on an elevator, and the next thing, you and your car are on the 32nd floor overlooking the ocean. Sounds nice.
Yeah, until the elevator takes a dump.
I just hope there's like one guy with like a 77, Bonneville.
Bondo.
Yeah, he parks it right next to all the Porsches and Bentleys and everything.
Well, how about Lana in Hollandale with 3 minutes to go? How are you, Lana?
Fine, thank you.
How can we help you?
My question to ask you is this. We waive yearly the reserve account. Our annual budget is $1.75 million. Our board seems to think that they have the right to accumulate a third of that budget for working capital. Is that legal?
I don't understand. So you're waiving a reserve account every year.
Correct.
But you're over-budgeting by one-third? Is that what you're telling me, I guess?
Well, no, they're not. They want to accumulate. Actually, at the end of the year, this year, they had close to $80,000.
Okay. And is it because they're overestimating on certain things?
That's it exactly. They're overestimating.
Okay. Well, you know, the board has the obligation to kind of propose a budget and to make a budget in good faith, with the numbers that are real and true. It's not a bad thing to overestimate. It's actually probably a good thing because you never know just how bad the foreclosure crisis is going to wind up hitting your association. But, if they're doing it, if the board is doing that because or simply because the association members keep waiving reserves. No, that can't be done. In other words, they can't build in their own reserve system because they know the unit owners are going to vote down reserves. That obviously defeats the purpose of waiving the reserves to begin with.
Well, are they allowed to accumulate what they term a capital, working capital?
No, these items, all your specific items should simply be budgeted. There should be a line item for each. There shouldn't
be. I realize that, but
no, there shouldn't be a separate line item for, let's say, working capital.
They're supposed to give it back.
Yeah, right. The question is, what do you do with that at the end of the year now?
That's right.
What do you do with that money? And if you were listening last week, we took the position that, I can tell you, some attorneys take
Karen
the position.
Karen was listening.
Yeah, they got, some attorneys take the position that associations can roll that into the reserve account. I don't see that anywhere in the Florida statute that you can take that excess money and put it into a reserve account, especially in an association like yours, Lana, where the unit owners actually voted against a reserve account. So my attitude is that you can do two things with that money. A, give it back to everybody, or you're going to credit it against next year's assessments, and everybody's assessments should drop. As a matter of fact, Jan Bergman wrote in last week and said he knows about an association, I think it was in Weston, where they were faced with a similar situation like yours. There was a big surplus at the end of the year. Everybody got back a nice check in the mail for $1,000 at Christmas time, and the assessments actually also went down for even next year. So, again, to answer your question, no, the board members can't build in a basically working capital account or reserve account or whatever you want to call it, especially when the unit owners voted it down. So, Lana, hope that answers your question. Thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You got it. All right. Looks
have a
like,
good day.
Thank you. All right. I'm tired. That was an exhausting
Woo!
Show. Yeah. Busy from 1 second to the next. We really didn't get to about half of what we wanted to get to. But everybody enjoy a great football Sunday.
Yeah, go
Let's
Giants.
Go New York Giants. Beat the Falcons today. And tune in same time next week. Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a great week.
Thanks.